Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Young Guns are taking over and Ozil finds new ways to make the coin and there's a protest in America, people. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 14th of October. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Anish Nandaraja.
Fish, Screech. What do you have to say for yourself? Look, is this how you really want to start the show, by trying to just ruin my intro by changing my name from Breach to Screech in the running order? That's how you want to start things this Thursday, is it?
I can understand why people listening might think that was, you know, an immature act, you know, an act of unnecessary vandalism to the running order. But we did start, well, just before we started, you did say, Fish, I'm not going to leave you any time for your name. I've got really good at that. And so I preempted that. I had it down when you, just before you had to burp. I'd already sorted it, got it and tweaked it.
God, I'm such a lady, aren't I?
But you are, but you know, you're obviously very good at reading, what they call them?
Auto cues,
that's the one, yeah. So yeah, you adjusted very well there. I'm actually quite impressed. I thought you were going to dual screech it.
No, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not falling for it. I've fallen for it before. I've done a bad Anchorman before.
Really?
I'm not doing it again yet.
Are you going to tell us what it was?
You two obviously weren't here for that one. I can't remember what it was, but it was something about the rain in Spain.
Yeah.
Came down in vain or some rubbish like that.
No, I was here. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was appalling.
It was terrible.
That's why I thought I could get away with this.
No, not anymore. How are you both, by the way?
Very well.
You're trying to dampen my parade because I've come back from my holiday tanned and fresh, and you're jealous, aren't you, Vish?
I'm a little bit jealous, yeah. You're the only one, like, I never thought you could find joy in Dubai, but here you are. Lovely.
I had a lovely time, and now I'm back, and catching up on all the football stories that have been happening. Last night, there was a few football matches. Women's Champions League was happening. Enjoyed, actually, the Chelsea-Juventus game, Andy. Chelsea winning 2-1 at the Allianz Arena, which looked amazing, didn't it?
Yeah, and they, I think, shifted 17,000 of 20,000 tickets that were available. It was good atmosphere. It's an atmospheric stadium anyway. And Chelsea were pretty good. I mean, in both of their opening Women's Champions League games, they've shown in bits of it why they should, if not be the favourites, be very close to being the favourites. I mean, it's difficult to say they're the favourites when Barcelona are in it and Lyon are presumably going to be resurgent this year. But the bit leading up to the first goal and the bit following the second goal, they were excellent. Like, but when Chelsea opened the scoring in the first half, then Juventus equalised, And then once Pernilla Harder, it was could have gone either way. And when Pernilla Harder got the what was eventually the winner, like they didn't give Juventus a glimmer after that. I didn't think, you know, they really came on strong. They controlled the game really, really well. And yeah, thoroughly deserved it, I thought.
Pernilla Harder is a big game player, isn't she, Vish? Most expensive female player, and she's proven her worth. She always pops up with these important goals.
Yeah, it's it was interesting when she scored that goal last week, which was obviously quite scrappy. There was a sense that she was like in this funk, wasn't it?
Mm.
And you know, with the winner yesterday, it was when Chelsea signed her, I assumed straight off the bat that she primarily was going to be up front. But then obviously they had Kerr as well, and I was trying to work at Beth England, and then obviously Fran Kirby has been the collateral from that because he's not necessarily starting every game. But she has this incredible way of just being quite a reliable player from deep and then coming up with these kind of goals. Like that finish yesterday, she had a couple of, well, I think three or four efforts on goal where, and all quite different efforts on goal, but where she was basically benefiting from being the late one in the box. And one of the things I did like, you know, just going back to the atmosphere, was when Cuthbert scored, they booed. And you know what, women's games, it's been a rare thing to hear, like, you know, a crowd really get behind a home side beyond, I suppose, you know, Chelsea and Arsenal, really. But you don't really get that booing.
You don't get a feisty crowd, really,
yeah,
in the women's game, do
you? Well, we don't want Hungary.
No, we don't want that.
But yeah, it was, you know, I watched it with my partner, who's you know, plays football, massively into women's football. And she found that quite heartening. She was like, oh shit, they care.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think we were talking earlier, weren't we, Jules, about how it's quite a hike to get out to the Allianz. So you want to get your money's worth once you're there, don't you?
It's an amazing stadium, but the surrounding areas, let's just say, it's not the most entertaining.
No, it's an effort to get there. It's an effort to get there from Turin proper, isn't it?
I stayed in a very eggy hotel there once. When I say eggy, I mean it stunk of egg. Literally.
What else could you have meant? That it was made of egg?
I don't know. Eggy can mean other things, can't it?
Like, what else could eggy mean?
As in, like, it's eggy, like it's not very good. Like, eggy.
Yeah.
It's eggy.
Yeah, but you make it sound like you could request it to smell of eggs. You know, you can get like some places, certainly places you stay at, they give you like a pillow menu.
So tick.
Oh,
like,
really? I didn't get
lavender,
a pillow menu in Dubai.
Egg.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you get all your smells. You know, you talked about what you need to sleep. You know, lavender spray on your bed is very good. Stole a few of those from hotels. Yeah. If eggs put you to sleep, eggs, fine. Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh. I love eggs, but not the smell of them in my hotel room.
I think that's fair.
Basically what it smelled like the entire time for 2 days. And it was nothing to do with me.
I mean, you've said that a few times now that it's starting to wear thin, but yeah. I'll take your word for that.
I'm sure Emma Hayes stayed in a much nicer hotel that didn't smell of egg. It was nice to see her and Joe Montemurro reunited after,
wasn't it,
how many years they spent facing off against each other in the WSL, because obviously Joe Montemurro used to manage Arsenal.
He had his grumpy face on by the end of it, didn't he?
He did. I like Joe, though. I think he's a character.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, like, you know, Juventus have built something over the last couple of years, but Chelsea are still quite a long way ahead of them. And what Vish was saying about all their various options, I mean, Emma Hayes is a great coach, but she does have an extraordinary amount of options as well.
Yeah, she absolutely does. So Chelsea on their way, hopefully in this group stage, doing well so far, 4 points from their first two matches. Let's talk about Phil Foden, because he's getting closer and closer and closer, from what we hear that's being reported, to signing this new 6-year contract at Manchester City. Knowing our luck, it'll probably be announced while we record this. But from what we're hearing,
ramble standard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. He is on the verge of becoming the highest, or one of the highest, certainly, paid young players in world football. Look, it's an amazing time for him to be signing this deal, but amazing for Man City as well, Andy.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think on the back of last season, no one can really argue with that. We were talking about yesterday's performance for England against Hungary. Whereas I appreciate his versatility, I think he needs his special spot. And I would like to see him get his special spot, like on the left for England. I think that would be great, really. But you know, I think it's so interesting when you look at the evolution of his Manchester City career, because the calls for him to go out on loan, especially after Jadon Sancho went, were really big. And it seems weird to say when you look at everything Guardiola has done at Manchester City, but Foden is definitely one of his biggest successes. Mm-hmm. Because him saying, you're not going anywhere, you're going to stay here and learn with us. And the fact that Foden has been on board with that and hasn't done what Sancho did, and you know, he could have pushed for a move out. He didn't do that. And his faith has been paid back in triplicate. So it's worked brilliantly for both of them. And I think it's only going to get better.
I think the other side to the Guardiola-Foden relationship is also that Guardiola gave her an interview a few... I can't remember if it was a recent interview or not. It might have been a year or so ago. But he basically said that when he started Man City, Foden was coming through, and Foden started training with the first team and being in with a shout of starting or playing games with the first team, Foden would always demand that. He'd always knock on the door and be like, oh, you know, going to do this. And it got, I suppose, worse from Guardiola's point of view, because he was putting in so many good performances. Guardiola had such a good squad that he had to leave him out, that Foden kept asking, you know, what do I need to do? Why am I not playing? And then it clearly got to a stage where Foden stopped asking because he was getting these games. And I think this contract is an example of how Man City are now reacting to Foden, thinking that, shit, we need to tie this guy down.
Yeah.
Because he is phenomenal. And I know we can pay him whatever, but we need to really set our stall out and make a statement like this. Because it's quite hard to make a statement with someone who's already one of your own young players, which is part of the reason that Sancho left. Part of the reason that, you know, I think back to when Pogba left Manchester United for Juventus. A lot of it was about not feeling wanted at a young age. Foden's had that, and now he's gone to like the big time stage where it's like, right, we've got to tie this blow down.
Yeah, with players like that, it's never really about the money per se. It's about the respect that the money implies.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I mean, look, he's only 21. It's insane to think that at the end of this 6-year deal, he'll still be what? He'll be like around 27, which is, you would assume, probably. Would you say that's now the prime age as a footballer? Would you say when you get to 26, 27, that's maybe your prime age? Which is incredible, really, that we're already seeing him as one of the best players in the Premier League now, and he's still 5-6 years off of being that classic sort of prime age as a footballer.
Well, you say that.
What is the prime age now?
Yeah, I mean, I wondered if it was younger. Like, when you see the list of the, you know, the Golden Boy, the young Ballon d'Or shortlist, you know, looking through previous lists, they were all like, you know, exciting players, players that you're expecting to like be big time for their countries and club sides. Well, a lot of people on that list are big
really
time.
Young.
And also, you know, Andy, I'm curious to hear what you think of this, because it feels like, anecdotally at least, more young players now, more established young players now are in central midfield than before. I think it used to be that there used to be wide players, didn't they? They used to be exciting wide players who were quick and flashy, and those were the ones that stick out in our mind as the ones who are going to go on to great things. But now they all seem to be central midfielders, and they all seem to be like given a shitload of responsibility.
Yeah, I know we spend a load of time saying the Premier League, you need a certain amount of physical skills, a special physical skill set to play in the Premier League. The fact is that since Modric, and actually, I guess, to an extent, Foden's predecessor at Manchester City, David Silva, small players can thrive in the middle of the pitch in the Premier League. That's not even a question anymore. So certainly at City, Silva's really opened the way, really, for Foden to be able to do what he wants to do, and to be adaptable and to play in different positions, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's incredible, really. 21 years old, on the verge of a new 6-year deal at Man City. He's already won 3 Premier League titles. He's won the FA Cup, 4 League Cup titles as well with Manchester City. So, I mean, you can only imagine what he'll go on to achieve in his career. And I think this season as well, despite missing, was it the first couple of games after his injury during the Euros, he's been one of City's best players this season, particularly in that game against Liverpool. I thought he was outstanding, and he is amongst this year's Ballon d'Or nominees. That was revealed last weekend. He didn't get on the list for the young players, though, Andy, which is weird.
Well, can you get on both? You can get on both, I suppose, can't you?
But will he win the main award?
I don't think that's what it's all about. I think he's past that now. It's like, right. I don't know. I guess Spain is a sort of exception to that. That, you know, when you get in the first team, you don't go back to the under 21s afterwards. I mean, Spain have won a lot of under 21 tournaments by taking on players that played senior games. And just, you know, I'm not going to say gaming the system, but it is meant to be about development, really, isn't it? But yeah, I think he deserves to be on it. I mean, obviously, I'm not massively asked about this award, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't be, does it?
Say how you really feel about the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, exactly. I will.
Also, in terms of young players signing new contracts, Barcelona have apparently agreed a new one for Pedri that's going to run until 2026. According to some reports, though, it also involves a 1 billion euro release clause.
Everything that Barcelona do these days has to be idiot proof.
What?
And that's what it is, because, you know, they thought when they signed that deal with Neymar that 222 million euros was, you know, ungettable. And then by the time they realized, oh shit, it's not ungettable because of PSG, it was too late. So now they've gone past that buyout clause on a number of different occasions, and this is no surprise for that reason. He needs to be unbuyable. I very much look forward to him being the first 1 billion signing in the Premier League for Newcastle United. Him and Shelves. Oh, it's going to be special. It's going to be special.
Isaac Hayley just behind, yeah. do you think it was like, you know, people have those like mood or dream boards where they like put stuff on there and then they hope it like manifests into in their real lives? Do you think Barca were like, we could really fucking do with a billion quid right now? Should we just write it somewhere? Let's put it on little Pedri's contract.
Yeah, like that player that got the tattoo on his calf. Who was that again?
Oh, playing in the Champions League.
Yeah, playing in the Champions League. It was one of the Sheriff players, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. The guy scored the winner, I think.
Yeah. Got a tattoo of him playing in the Champions League on his calf.
Mark Clattenburg scored the winner against Real Madrid.
He's an idiot, though. He should have put 1 billion euros on his calf.
He should have.
He'd be laughing, wouldn't he?
Talking of young'uns, did you hear about the 13-year-old that played for Real Monarchs in the USA? It's a second-tier side in America. He's called Axel Kai, and he actually became the youngest ever player to represent a US professional sports team. 13 years old.
It's unnecessary.
It's not fair. That's...
No.
It's like Tim Cahill on holiday, isn't it?
What? How? Well, I don't know if I know that reference.
It was difficult for him to eventually qualify for Australia, wasn't it? Because when he was staying with his nan, he played for American Samoa when he was like 13, 14.
Right.
We've all played a bit of international football on holiday.
Yeah.
You had a game while you were out there, didn't you?
UAE's Jules Breach.
I most definitely did not.
So I know it's like a really old man thing to say that players are getting younger, but I mean, 13 is absurd. Even if Freddie Adu wasn't 13, he was 14, wasn't he? That's so unnecessary. I mean, I hope he does really well. It'd be remiss of me to wish ill on someone who's more than 20 years younger than me.
How old are your boys, Andy? What, is one of them 13 yet?
No,
not quite.
No, not that old.
No.
Well, when they are 30,
are you swooping in for an agent opportunity?
No, just checking in.
She heard about Pedri's release and she's like, hold on, let's get there. Where's this nearest kid?
What's 15%?
Quite incredible. Also, just before we go to the break, some sad news yesterday that we heard about David Brooks. I'm sure you've seen this on your news stories as well. The Bournemouth midfielder was diagnosed with stage 2 Hodgkin lymphoma, just 24 years old. He's an extraordinary talent. We saw him obviously in the Euro squad for Wales in the summer, playing in the Premier League as well. He was a real miss to Bournemouth when he was out injured last season. And of course, now he will be taking more time out of the game for his treatment. He released a statement yesterday saying that the prognosis was positive, which is good news. So we hope and wish him the speediest recovery and hope that we see him back on a football pitch very soon. Right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, some more Ramble Madness.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Shane Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat.
The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a five-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is history done differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
If you look at the game overall, probably took us 15, 20 minutes at least to get into the game or to get to grips with Millwall and their shape and what they've done. But then probably in there, the game was probably, the goal was probably against the run of play. Yeah. It was our best spell. We just hit the foot of the post and then we have the disappointment of the goal. And that's part of it. Do you know, we're still brand new.
It's like Gollum and Smeagol.
That is the best key change since show at footballramble.com.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That was Paul Cook's weird voice, by the way, in case you didn't know. You're listening.
Is he all right?
I don't know. I don't think so. Sounds like there's three people in there, doesn't it?
In there.
Oh God. Oh. This is Thursday's Ramble. It's Jules, Fish and Andy here with you today, and it's now time for this. So good, that one. I really enjoy that. It's properly made, isn't it?
Yes.
Professional. Almost as professional as the new Newcastle song, Amanda. Which you must listen to.
I thought we were going to get through the pod without talking about that.
Go and find it if you haven't heard it yet. It's to the tune of Westlife's Mandy.
Don't go and find it. You'll never be able to unhear it.
Don't. You're like the Pied Piper luring people to do.
Amanda, you came and you saved us from Ashley.
You've given Peter like mini heart attack there about rights as well. So well done. Yeah. Let's just listen to this from George Philpott in Portsmouth.
Hello,
after
George.
After listening to Wednesday's show and the discussion about Arsene Wenger's proposed World Cup every 2 years, I've come up with a solution that will get everybody on board. My idea is as follows. We take those extra World Cup tournaments and turn them into a wacky World Cup with different rules every time. For example, one tournament, all teams must only field left footers for the entirety of the game. Another year, it's strictly over 40s over. I'm listening. Another year, all teams beginning with the letters A, E, I, O and U are allowed to take as many performance-enhancing drugs as possible. Another year, all keepers must be on horseback.
I like that.
Fair. Another year, everyone has to be in fancy dress. That way we keep the beauty of the regular World Cup every 4 years, but we also look forward to the wacky World Cup in between. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, ?
Sold.
Yeah, I'm doing that. Also, I like the way that keepers on horseback and then everybody in fancy dress. I'm just thinking of Fascino Espria dressed as a T-Rex on a horse. I mean, he's got to be in the opening ceremony, no doubt. I quite like this. I also think we should have maybe a World Cup just full of right backs, so England have got a shot. We'd do all right in
We'd
that one.
We'd have a decent chance.
Yeah,
we
would. Yeah,
I quite enjoy this as well. I think seeing all the players in fancy dress would be a right giggle.
I like roller skates. I think roller skates would be good.
Hard though.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah, I suppose wingers and fullbacks are probably at an advantage, aren't they?
Yes.
Centre backs on roller skates. I mean, it's not going to be pretty, is it?
Maybe not centre backs. Maybe wheelies. You know, the little kids' shoes.
Heelys.
But you have to
you
wear.
You can do wheelies on heelys.
Yeah. But you have to wear the kid's size. So you can have all these footballers taking time out to bind their feet.
Edison on a horse, though. Frightening.
Yeah, I can picture him on a horse shirtless, like a la Putin, but like with a trident.
Uh-huh.
Well, it would put Edinson Cavani at an enormous advantage, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not a goalkeeper, though, is he?
No. No.
But maybe he could. He's a. If
Rush
he was a,
goalie?
If he was a good horse whisperer, he could talk. Oh, let this one in.
I'd like to see the horse's tail bat a ball off the line. You know, goal line technology needed for that one. It was that close. Well, the tail of the horse.
Well, they do have extraordinarily strong streams of piss, don't they?
Oh, God.
So perhaps you could piss a shot off the line.
You'd have to time that piss perfectly, though, wouldn't you?
Imagine, though, if you're like one of those, if you're one of those defenders.
Well, as soon as the penalty gets awarded, go, right, drink this bottle of water. Yeah. Come on.
But if you're like at a corner and, you know, some like they put some big players to jostle with the goalkeeper, imagine if you're doing that and you got kicked in the face by a horse.
Yeah, it's dangerous, that. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, funny or dangerous. Yeah. We've got to have to find out, don't we?
See, exactly. I'm down for that suggestion, George. Thank you.
I've got an email from Andy in Tokyo. Konnichiwa, Andy. Nothing to do with football.
Look at
brilliant.
You showing off.
Have I been to Japan? Yes, I have.
Yes, you have.
Nothing to do with football, but circa 1989, my driving instructor greeted every left turn with a growled, ooh, lovely, tight as a fish's ass.
What?
Christ.
Do fishes have arses?
I assume so, yeah.
I've never seen one.
Every left turn to the point that by the time of my test, I too was mumbling it under my breath. I failed twice, but it's not clear whether this was the reason. I've never seen one. Sorry, Jules, should we go back to that? I've never seen one.
I've not. I might Google.
You probably never looked, have you?
Fish's bum.
Don't do that.
Fish bum.
Don't do Yeah.
Fish's ass.
I mean, I'm glad you've emailed us this. I'm not really sure what to do with it, beyond the fact that I feel like you needed to get it out.
No, I'm not glad that you've emailed us this.
No, but I feel like it might have been therapeutic for Andy in Tokyo. So, I don't know.
That's what my mail looked like.
And we've opened Jules' eyes to something she never thought she'd wanted to see.
I just can't go over it. I just can't picture it. I'm picturing like a human's bum on a fish. Oh, God.
Well, I don't know why that reminds me of Bo Selector.
show at footballramble.com. Get your emails into us on tweet at footballramble. And as we speak, thank you very much, producer Charlie. Who
I mean, those are just
Googled
fishes that look like arses. Don't Google this.
On the studio computer screen, fish's arse. Yeah. No actual photographic evidence of a fish's arse, so we can't confirm
you probably wanted to get out there, but we think you're a liar.
Let's talk about a bit of football news in Ligue 1. Andy, you probably know a little bit more about this than myself and Bish, because it's a league that you follow closer than we do, but it has been confirmed that there are going to be less teams playing in Ligue 1 as of next season, which meaning less fixture congestion as well. They announced yesterday that four teams are actually going to be relegated next season, with only two teams being promoted from the league below, meaning that the top flight will now have just 18 teams rather than 20. Been on the cards for quite a while now, but it's now officially going to happen as of next season. What do you make of that?
Well, the question is really, Jules, if there's going to be a knock-on in other European leagues, because as you say, it's been ready to happen for a while. I think if you look at France, and especially the way that the league was one of the top five European leagues that was basically cancelled due to the pandemic, you look at that, the collapsed TV deal afterwards, it's taken a financial beating. There's just the sense that they can't support 20 top flight teams anymore. I mean, I've heard this argument. Well, we've heard this argument about the Premier League, haven't we, in recent weeks, particularly with reference to Norwich in some cases. And, you know, maybe there aren't 20 teams good enough to play in the top flight in England, which I think is nonsense.
It's bollocks.
Personally. And like here, there is a, if you look at the top flight leagues, I guess Ukraine is another example, although that's different. Like, for economic reasons, it's really, really shrunk to sort of Scottish Premier League size. But there's always, if there's money to be made from fixtures between 20 teams, it's always going to carry on.
Yeah.
And there is in the Premier League. There undoubtedly is in the Premier League, but there's not in France. So it's just a sort of self-preservation sort of thing. It's almost to protect the clubs a little bit. Now, I know some clubs would argue against that, but it's something that they feel is important. They've thought is important for a while. Italy is probably going in the same direction. It never would have had 20 teams in the first place if it wasn't for various court cases going back a couple of years.
That's an incredible thing, reading up about those court cases.
Yeah, and that's why the Portuguese top flight got enlarged as well.
Right.
When, you know, twice in the last 10 years, or even less, you've had teams promoted from the third tier directly to the first to correct disciplinary action that's gone wrong in the past. Imagine going up from the third tier to the first. That is quite season prep, isn't it?
Yeah, that is quite funny, yeah.
Yeah, but there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see this ever happening in the Premier League, but if you could remove two, Vish, who would they be?
Why are you throwing me this?
I don't know.
Imagine chucked under the bus there.
The reason you throw me that is you basically want me to say, and I may as well say, you basically want me to say Leeds and Liverpool.
No, I don't,
and just get the mountain of their fan base.
Say United and City.
I'll get rid of Brighton and Hove Albion. It's funny though, isn't it? But you're absolutely right in that if there's money to be made from 20 teams, they will do it, which is why the Premier League is 20 teams. If they had an inkling that they'd be, you know, once they have the 39th game and once they have a few more, they think, well, actually, we could bulk up the regular season with a couple of extra teams. They'll do that as well, and then we'll have a 22-team Premier League. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if the League Cup gets it in the neck at some point, because that's something that France did away with, obviously, a couple of years ago. If you're genuinely thinking about fixture congestion, that is going to be the one to go, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Let Brighton win it first, and then it can go. something I know you do want to talk about, Vish. I'll hand over to you to talk about Mesut Ozil finding new ways to make some dollar. He's launching his own cryptocurrency this week in an extension of his M10 brand. Of course he is.
I like the way M10 sounds like Ben 10. People get that confused.
Wild, isn't it?
Are you saying you'll be able to get Mesut Ozil backpacks for a fiver in our local market?
I think that would be more reasonable. People won't be losing money hand over fist if they just bought backpacks, would they? In fact, you could stuff money into a backpack. Be good for laundering.
Well, it's funny because when Mesut Ozil went to Turkey, you thought there's a load more commercial opportunity here. And I think it was Joey Durso recently has written something about this for The Athletic. But he's quite rightly pointed out that Turkish clubs are big on NFTs at the moment, which is, you know, digital art. There's no actual physical element to it. Mm. I mean, it's surprising to me, as it is to you, that Turkish clubs would be, you know, making a money grab by selling something that's basically of no value.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems like the perfect, you know, confluence between Özil and Turkish football's interests at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, how, you know, I'm not going to say how much money do you need, because, you know, we don't know anyone's personal situation. It's easy to say that about footballers without knowing the background. But the thing I don't like about this is that NFTs are a little bit different to Bitcoin in that, you know, Mesut Ozil's just basically doing it to get money. There is no real, you're not really getting anything back. I know they said that, oh, you might earn the chance of meeting him, but what does that always amount to? Whenever there's an opportunity to win a chance to meet a footballer, it is the most underwhelming thing, isn't it? Like, we've heard stories of people who've emailed in about, like, taking a penalty against a former goalkeeper and he's telling them to fuck off. You know, like, it's always, always terrible. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Also, I personally, maybe jumping the gun here, I get the strong feeling that Mesut Ozil will not understand the product whatsoever.
Oh, definitely, yeah. His team have put it, he's not thought, you know, I really want to get into crypto.
Yeah.
He just cares about assists.
I'm surprised he didn't team up with the old, the most famous Turkish man right now, old Salt Bey, Nusret.
Paying a lot of money for nothing.
exactly.
You are prime Salt Bey restaurant fodder.
How fucking dare you?
You would be all over it. Yeah.
No, I was not.
One on the story, three photos and a reel on the main.
I'm better than that.
Nah, you're not.
Come on.
They repost it. Oh, we had Jules breaching today.
Oh. Nusret's old school to me.
You were there from the start, weren't you?
Yeah, I went there before it was cool.
You encouraged him. You were there from the start. You're like, you know what? You can sell this worth 600 quid, this.
He cooked for me at the harvester.
I bet you.
And he gave me extra onion rings.
Extra salt.
I bet you and your mates did the little salt thing as well.
No, we
didn't. You know you did, didn't you? You
didn't.
Absolutely did.
This has gone beyond a joke into a personal attack.
Do mind.
I feel.
Do mind.
You need to watch yourself, Ish.
Why can't I get a Sonos? That's what this is all about.
Jealousy's not got a speaker. I've just put my Sonos speaker up in my bar at home. Let's talk about a protest in America, and it's nothing to do with the vaccine. This time it is to do with a school board in Michigan who are planning to send a protest over bad sportsmanship after a player scored 16 goals against them in one game. I love this guy who scored 16 goals. So there's been a meeting of the Kingsley School Board, which was held after Kevin Hubble, he's the player who scored 16 goals for Benzie Central in a 17-0 win, which is a high school record in America. Now, one of the parents of the school is pushing for them to stop playing Benzie Central in any sport this year. This is what the parents said. We as parents want to be able to tell our boys that not only did their parents and loved ones stand up for them, but their entire community did as well. What is this?
What is this? I mean, the thing is that if you think it's bad sportsmanship, there are ways to get your own back. I remember when I was playing football at school, we beat a team, well, just 4-0 one Saturday. And they were very quick to get off the field. And by the time we got back to the clubhouse, where you're all meant to share, like, you know, a cheese roll and a bit of tuck, they had nicked all the orange clubs and fucked off back to Essex.
Oh, great shout. Now, that's a way to do it.
You know, don't get mad, get even.
Yeah, absolutely. Fish?
I mean, yeah, it is the most pathetic thing. Although I did some research on the guy, and he...
Old Kevin?
Yeah. So he's got like a...
Bit of a geezer, isn't he?
He's a little bit of a geezer. He's got his own social media account, and he used to post videos of his goals. Mm. And he was like, he hadn't been active for a few months, and then he started retweeting him going on radio stations talking about his 60 goals. And I love the fact that he's owning it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's just like, no, fuck it, I scored 16 goals.
Why should he apologise?
Exactly, yeah.
It's ludicrous.
Also, 16 goals in a 17-0 win.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly an exceptional player. It was an exceptional player on that specific field. It wasn't like it was 50-0 and everyone was taking their piece. Mm. Although I would like to see some of the goals because there was nothing better than irate American soccer parents. And I would love to see, like, how were they, like,
soccer, you know,
passing in the ball on the line.
Well, they actually scored all the goals in the first half and stopped at half time.
Well, there you go. Well, did the game stop at half time?
Yeah.
And you don't really need to go on.
So it could have been 32.
Could have, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty joke.
See,
actually.
So Kevin actually, you know, he did them a favour by stopping at half time, didn't he?
Yeah, they should be thanking him.
They should.
They should be giving him the orange clubs.
Yeah, Kevin the Merciless. Merciful, yeah.
That is it from us today. Remember, if you want more European football chat, Andy is back. We've got On the Continent coming up later on Football Ramble Presents. Andy's with Miguel Delaney and Dotton, and they're going to be discussing the reaction to the Newcastle takeover in Europe and loads more. Probably a mention of the Amanda song, no? I just got evils from Brussels. Tomorrow, Marcus, Luke and Pete are here with the preview show. Thanks for listening, guys. Vish, you're dead to me.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. As long as I'm not dead to Sonos. Honestly, I am here. I will just, even the little one I could have in the shower would be nice.
You're getting fuck all, mate. Cheers for listening, guys. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. See you next time.
You're not going to get free stuff from Acast.
No. Right, should we do this?
Yeah. Let's.
All right. Hopefully I'll leave you enough time, Vish, for your name. I might not.
This is going in.
There we go. Got it.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.